It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Is there one individual that you really want to be the Falcons' next head coach? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're keeping you updated throughout the course of the day here on all the coaching interviews. The big one we're watching, of course, is what's going on with John Harbaugh in New York. And the reason is simple. If he gets taken off the board today, you know that's one less guy that you might have been interested in that maybe you don't get a chance to talk to face-to-face. But I don't think that's going to happen. And part of this is reporting from various sources that say, hey, look, Matt Ryan's well-respected by John Harbaugh. And that probably is going to allow us, the Falcons, to get this interview, Mike. But that's unless he gets a deal done with the Giants today because they have a full-court press on trying to make this happen.
Yeah, I know that a lot of Falcon fans agree with Kyle Dukes, and they want to see John Harbaugh here. Because all the things that he has done. And again, I think you talk to Ravens fans like you talk to Steelers fans. Certainly, if you talk to Browns fans, the time had come to turn the page on all of those coaches, whether it was, you know, what happened with Harbaugh and Tomlin. One thing, real quick, sidebar before I answer your question.
Yeah, bro.
Biscotti, the owner, is so glib about all this stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I was going to fire. Yeah, you had an 18-year run with Harbaugh, and you said, yeah, I would have fired him eventually. I mean,
different approach from the Rooneys.
Yeah.
And how they're talking about Tomlin than right. It is about Biscotti talking about Harbaugh.
You feel me on that, guys? It was just like a little, to be glib, it's just really? You're just going to be a tongue in cheek and throw some throwaway, like, your lines about a guy that. You did some really good things for your team in your city.
I agree.
So I thought that, I like Biscotti, but I thought that was not exactly the time because when they told him yesterday we played the audio that Tomlin was available, I was like, oh yeah, Tomlin? Really? And he goes, I got respect for Tomlin. He's like, you don't have respect for Harbaugh? You know, talk about Harbaugh going to Pittsburgh. It was a little strange. But look, I like Harbaugh. I just like Stefanski, and I get why you like him. But I think that'd be a harder sell for the audience. I think Kubiak would be, Harbaugh. Or Kubiak, I think, would get people going. I've heard a lot of guys on other shows call in and mention Mike McCarthy. I'm not interested in Mike McCarthy because he's more of a retread than the guys who just lost their jobs to me.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned him once, but I also know that nobody has mentioned him in link to the Falcons at all.
Right.
And
not even Jump Street.
No,
right.
No. And look, that's not a coincidence. I think that there's two trains of thought here. One is sometimes how these things work is inside the building they put out who they might be interested in, and then people run with it. Or the outside puts out, Mike, these are the teams that particular coach, agents and whatnot, might be interested in, and then people run with it. Tell me how much of the Mike McCarthy conversation you've heard McCarthy and the Falcons connected. Zero. So I'm not saying they won't interview him or they might not talk to him, but there's no smoke there. There is real smoke with Harbaugh. I think there is a little bit of smoke with some of the other guys that we're talking about that they've already talked to. But if you were to say where there's smoke, there's fire, I think Harbaugh has that smoke. I certainly think the interest in Kubiak is there. And I really believe the Stefanski thing is real as well. That's just me. But we're going to see where this ends up going. The interesting thing today is some of the names that are being thrown out with other jobs. And again, we can't discount this because this is a race. We're trying to beat these other teams to the guy that we think is going to be the best candidate. We got to make moves. And so, Mike, you're seeing other teams now put out these fillers and reports that, hey, we're interested in these guys, whether it's Jesse Minter, who's getting some run now, the DC for the Chargers, Brian Flores, we talked about multiple interview requests, including the Steelers wanting to talk to him. We also talked about who the Falcons are going to talk to today, allegedly, and Anthony Pierce, who was a former coach of the Raiders in a long time, assistant player for the Giants. I think there are some guys that are just out there. And this Chris Shula thing is interesting. He's heating up.
Yeah, Shula's getting some heat apparently with the Steelers. He's been mentioned, again, all the openings basically. But Miami is interesting because, do you really want to go and take on your grandpa's legacy? The all-time winningest coach? I mean, I that would, now granted, great synergy coming full circle.
Yes, it is.
But, still tough. That's, I don't know if you want to take on the ghost of your grandpa down in South Florida. A couple guys hitting this up. Randog21 says, the Giants are offering Harbaugh anything he pretty much wants, guys. I don't think this is a case of using the other teams to get money. I think you have to talk to all the teams and interest both ways. He doesn't think it's like when Parcells used us for leverage with the Dolphins years ago. But I would think that, you know, it's just a matter of Matt could sell it. He might be like 99% ready to go to the Giants, and Matt gives him his pitch and maybe wins him over. And maybe after dealing with a couple of years at Acosta, he kind of likes the idea of Matt running this thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to put a general manager in place as well. I would love to know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. What is your offensive strategy for the Falcons to John Harbaugh? Who's going to be your offensive coordinator? You know, is Monken gone? Are you bringing Monken with you? What's that going
to
be?
Well, I think, Mike, what you try to do as if you're one of these coaching candidates is give your philosophy. Who your exact hire is going to be, there are guys who fit that philosophy. But I don't know at this point if you're ready to say, that's my guy, that's my offensive coordinator. What do you believe in? What are the Harbaughs believe in, guys? They believe in being good up front, running the football, playing good defense.
Right.
If you talk about fundamentally what him and his brother, and even their dad, who's got it better than us? Nobody. That is what they were raised in. So if you talk about what your philosophy, here's what we're going to do. Do we have the tools to do this? Want to run the ball? We do. Bijan. Are we good up front? We're getting better on the defensive side, but I think we're pretty good on the offensive line. What about our defense? We fit the philosophy of what he wants to do.
And Day-Day just told me a story out of Tampa that we know that Todd Monken had interviewed with the Browns for the head coaching job. Apparently, he had a good meeting with Todd Bowles in Tampa to be the new OC, potentially, for the Buccaneers.
For Todd Bowles.
For Todd Monken, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So Monken would be the Todd and Todd show, and he'd be working with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, with Lamar, someday somebody will write a book about the Ravens and we'll find out what exactly happened, because there's certainly a lot of soap opera type stuff about, you know, was he coddled? Was he not being pushed? Was it really a strain between the OC and Lamar and why things are so funky? How can you have a guy be a two-time MVP and yet have all this weirdness? What was Harbaugh's culpability and all that? So either way, I'd be a little nervous about Monken in Tampa Bay, because they'd still find ways to get it done. Not this year. The injuries were just too much.
I agree. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to. Chris Henderson is going to join us coming up in less than 10 minutes. Atlanta United Chief Soccer Officer and Sporting Director. We're going to get an update on all the new things that are going on with Atlanta United. But we got to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Concerning to you that offensive lineman Bo Hughley announces he's committed to Colorado?
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to lose any depth on the O-line. You know, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
But we got somebody else coming in.
Well, look, everybody is losing players. George is no different. They're just not losing as many. Mm-hmm. But retention is the key. Retention is, how do I keep the guys that I have that really help my football team? Nate Frazier announces he's coming back to Georgia. Great news. We talked about Ty Simpson officially signing his paperwork to enter the NFL draft. Do you guys see what Ty Simpson said about taking the money and running, basically? Like, he was saying he would have been perceived as a mercenary if he would have took the $6.5 million.
So what?
And went to Miami and just ran down there for the money. And he said, you know what? It means more to me than just chasing the money. And so some people are like, yeah, I still think he should have came back to improve his draft stock.
And look, it's cool. He's an Alabama man. That Saban would probably love to hear that. But, you know, going all back before Kalen DeBoer. But $6.5 million to improve your draft stock, you know, to go from either the cusp of the first round to clearly in the first round. You saw what Carson Beck did. Now, again, I don't agree with everything their OC does, but he did a nice job with Carson Beck. You improve your brand. And you may even win a natty in the punch. I don't know, man. I respect his loyalty to Alabama, but I don't think, and in this day and age, other than some Bama fans in their bag, who would fault him for taking that money, 6.5,
yeah,
to do that?
Well, you kind of got to liken it to the news reporter situation in Jacksonville, right? You don't hear this often. All we do talk about is
bad,
everyone's transferring, everyone signed here. And so it is kind of somewhat refreshing to hear someone say, no, I want to leave my legacy where it is from as far as my college career goes, and we'll see what happens. And with Dante Moore going back to Oregon, maybe this is a good thing for him when it comes down to his draft stock.
Yeah, and I told you, I think that Dante Moore looked too average at times this year despite the numbers they put up, and he really got exploited and exposed. So good for him to come back after what Indiana did to him. You mentioned Blake Gideon going to Texas Tech. You see that Justice Hayes is going to come to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, big deal.
The Michigan running backs. A great feather in the cap for new offensive coordinator George Godsey, and obviously for Brent Key.
Speaking of coordinators, they have also brought in Jason Seymour as their new defensive coordinator. So Tech is filling the staff positions of guys that had left. or, you know, moved on, whatever the circumstances were, but Brent Key filling those staff positions. Hey, Marcus Freeman, Mike, real quick, because this is big news. Press conference today saying he's staying at Notre Dame.
Now, he's a guy that gets a lot of attention because, first off, young, charismatic. He's done the job. He did better than Brian Kelly did, certainly, you know, and you feel that he's an up-and-comer. So he said that he's never going to say no to the NFL, but right now his focus is on Notre Dame, you know, the transfer class, and they still got a chance. Look, Notre Dame fans, I don't put it on. Now, was it coming from the administration, the athletic department? How much was Freeman involved in we're taking our ball and going home and not playing in the bowl game? I don't know. But regardless, he's a big-time brand. But as we know, there's a lot of guys that have come up from the college ranks to the pros and flamed out.
No doubt.
Ugly.
It's hard sometimes. He did say, I've reminded our team, they had a team meeting on Sunday, it's our responsibility to make sure we leave no doubt moving forward, and we can't blame somebody else about not being in the college football playoff. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Did they get robbed this year? Should they have been in, Mike?
You know, yes and no. I mean, first off, the system is busted. There was no reason to have Tulane, with all due respect, in there. Certainly no reason to have James Madison go all cross country for that game in Oregon. So yes, I would like to have seen them play Ole Miss. You know, and I'd like to, you know, they should have been in.
Yeah.
Because Notre Dame is still a brand, but it is ultimately, you know, it's not his fault. It has nothing to do with Marcus Freeman. But how many years did we get Notre Dame jammed down our throats into semifinals and old formulas of the BCS when they didn't deserve it because of the brand and the build that Notre Dame gets? You know, so I think it's a two-way street. Also, most folks are sick of Notre Dame. Pick a conference. Like, your ish doesn't stink. You're making $50 million a year on top of what you get because you have the TV contract with NBC. And you've already worked it in. No matter what you do next year, if you're in the top 12, you're in. No matter how many losses they have, if they're top 12 next year, Carl, they're in the playoff.
Yeah. They didn't get in this year.
They always get preferential treatment. So the one time the wheel doesn't spin for them, I'm sorry. I can't vibe with that.
Yeah. Look, they finished strong. They didn't start great. And then they, you know, they did away with their USC rivalry game. That's going to be replaced by BYU.
And USC just wanted to move it up a few weeks. That was literally what it came down to.
Yeah.
And Miami beat you head-to-head, which is, in the minds of fans, the ultimate tiebreaker.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So as we go around college football, lots of news, most of it about the portal and who's staying, because that's really what the news is right now in the college football ranks about who's staying. There are some guys that are leaving, but a lot of guys, there's more guys than I think a lot of people realize, Mike, or ended up staying, whether it be their current situation or even just staying in school. Like, hey, I'm going to another university, but I'm going to stay another year.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.